Thank you, ladies. That was just beautiful. You know, and when we see the beauty of the Lord, it's like sunshine in the morning. It just comes in. It warms her back, brightens her faces. You know, it's time to glorify the Lord in all that we say and do, whether we, you know, eat or drink. We do all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 makes it very simple, but we live in a day today where our country has not been thankful. And I'm just going to turn here briefly to Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, because the Lord laid this portion of Scripture on my heart here before we get into Psalms. Because as we turn on the radios, turn on the TV, watch our internet, so on and so forth, talk with people, you know, our country, it does trouble us. And I know especially in our hearts. It says in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. In other words, they taught evolution in schools now for years, and we're reaping what we have sown in the country, and people have turned their backs on God. But I wanted to zero on verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up, and has the idea of confusion. If you want to talk about confusion in the news today, there are a lot of lies going on. There's a lot of things not being spoken about the truth. Therefore, there is no thanks to the God in heaven, because many people have turned their backs on God. And uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts dishonor their own bodies and between themselves. And a preacher should never get political, but I think eventually what's going to happen, they're going to come after our guns and they're going to come after our Constitution. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I think that's what's coming up next down the road. But we need to pray. We need to continue to pray for our leaders. And we should give thanks for all things. It doesn't matter what happens, because in every society, most countries don't last. Geographically, the people may be there, but their ideologies change every 100 to 200 years. It's known that in history. Nothing new under the sun for us. But we are here this morning giving thanks unto the Lord. In Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5, we're looking at times to be thankful as families. And we need to keep our families strong. Let me encourage you this morning by the grace of God. Be thankful for our families, even for the ones, the siblings, and for our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. I don't know if anybody's here got more than that, but I tell you what, very thankful for family. And so in verse 1, before we get there, we all know what happened with the history of Thanksgiving. It started with George Washington in 1789. Then President Lincoln again adapted it in 1863. And then Theodore Roosevelt again in 1941. But as Christians in the church, we have been giving thanksgiving. And we are very thankful that what we have here. First of all, we're going to look at our Thanksgiving is public. And it says here, make a joyful noise. It has the idea of to turn up the volume in the Aramaic and the Hebrew. Turn it up. Make a joyful noise. And of course, the joy that we get is from the fruit of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The joy of the Spirit is our strength, our joy. And so there's all kinds of falsities out there, all kinds of things the world wants to throw at us, but we have that joy, that deep-seated pleasure that we have in ourselves to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And it says here, all ye lands, and has the idea here of everywhere, and serve the Lord with gladness. Now, we are to be glad that we have an attitude of heart. And so that's the idea. It's all about the attitude. When you have issues coming into our life, we need to have the right kind of attitude. Sometimes you know, we have a near miss. Like the other day, I took a right at the traffic light. And, you know, I was obeying the law because right over there was a police officer. And I was just like, oh, well, what if I got to lose? I'll obey the law. Just make sure when you slow down, take a right at the red light, you slow down and come to a stop. Then you turn, not just, you just keep on going. Well, this guy comes out from the opposite way to make a U-turn, and he just happens just to stay in his lane and mine in that. And I'm just like, thank you, Lord. He didn't hit me, because I'm like, oh my goodness, where did he come from? You know, you look to your left, you look to your right, and you better look to your left again, especially if the hill's on the other side. You don't know what's going to happen, deer or cars or whatever, right? So we are to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. So I'm very thankful. I don't know why God gave this and laid this onto my heart, but could you imagine, like it says in Colossians 1:16, God holds everything together by the power of his word. It means everything from atoms to neutrons to everything that you could just break it down into. Do you realize God wanted to, everything could just fly apart, but he keeps everything together by his word. That means everything, material and matter and everything that's like these chairs would just come flying apart. And that gave me the biggest joy and the peace because of his power. I was thinking, you know what? I'm giving thanks because he's got control over the devil. Amen. He's got control over everything. If he wanted to, he could change things, but he doesn't because he loves us. And that's something I can give thanksgiving to. Amen. Because if he wanted to, he could just let everything just fly apart and into chaos. But he has everything in order, and we can give thanks and praise to that. So our enemies are nothing. But like I said before, if we allow them to come into our lives, but they are nothing because God keeps everything in control. The Israelites would come before the temple. They would give praise. David would give praise at this time. And so verse 3, we see number 1 that, you know, our thanksgiving is public. And I didn't want to forget about this. That lady, Corrie Ten Boom, from The Hiding Place, her and her sister used to go, had gone into, the concentration camp. And they had such a problem with fleas there that Corrie was just like, I can't stand these fleas anymore, especially, you know, with women, you know, and of course, guys too, but more women. And she's like, I don't want to go into that building. And you know what her sister said? She goes, you know what, Corrie, get used to it, please. We need to go in there. There's a good reason why. When she got in there, she said it was just horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible in the concentration camp everywhere. And you know what happened was God used that, as her sister told her, so the guards wouldn't come in. They had female guards. They had male guards that do atrocities to women. And men, if possible. But the women's barracks were so flea infested, but she gave thanks. She gave thanks, Corrie did. And later on in her biographies and in her movie, she talked about giving thanks to the Lord for the fleas. So if we got the fleas, you know, we got to give thanks. In other words, we got issues in our lives that God's allowing to happen. There's a reason why it's happening. And God, we just give thanks for it. You know, some things may be put on hold, and I know we don't like to think about that, but you know what? We got to give thanks for all things. All things. We have to. And even when it hurts, but we know God loves us, and we're thankful that there's reasons why this happened. And we see here in verse 3, there's our thanksgiving is personal. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God, and that he hath made us, and not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So we see that we are his sheep. He guides us and he directs us. He is our shepherd. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And so there is a purpose behind this. Humanly speaking, there is a man named John Templeton, said a billionaire investor, one of the very first ones. He said the secret of wealth was asked, and his response was gratitude. If you're not grateful, you're not rich, no matter how much you have. And some of us have probably met very wealthy people down the road who are very miserable because things cannot give happiness. You can throw money at the problem. Bankers will tell you that. The feds will tell you that. In our economy, it's not helping things. It's making people lazy, complacent, wondering why they even exist. Well, God, one of the reasons why God made us so that we can work. We can work. I don't care if it's women at home, men at work, or retirees. You always have something to do, something under the sun. And to give thanks to the Lord, we have two hands, we have two feet, we have two eyes, we have two ears. And thank God he's given us one mouth. You know, so as it is, we see here even at Jesus' time, remember that story about the 10 leopards in Luke chapter 17, in verses 11 through 19. And it was interesting because back in the 1800s, there's a man called John Hansen. And it's called the Hansen's disease, leprosy is. And there's two types here. It goes with, first of all, is the skin turns a whitish pinkish tone. Okay? And you don't even know that you have it at first. But untreated, it can last 10 to 20 years. And what it does, it breaks down the flesh and the bones. And they can deteriorate. It also rots the flesh. And it causes extreme high fevers and very, very painful areas and sores. In other words, your flesh is just rotting off. And when you hear about people going through leprosy, read about it, we can be very thankful that our flesh is not falling off, because we are just flesh. We are. But we have the Spirit of God, thank God, in Jesus Christ. So back at this time in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, and when it came to pass as he went into Jerusalem, that's Jesus, that he passed through the midst of the Samaritan Galilee. Remember, the Samaritans were those who had intermarried with Gentiles, were not of the pure race. And Galilee, as Jesus passed by, it was sometime after Jesus had dealt with Lazarus, and Jesus's ministry moved on, and we need to pray that our ministry continues to grow. And it says here, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men were lepers who stood afar off. In other words, they had to be at least 100 feet off away. They're usually in caves and dens and their own camps, so that when people walk by, they say unclean, because they did not want, you know, to get them sickened by this. And so it says, verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, has the idea of Lord, your owner of all things. He is in control of all things. Have mercy on us. And so it says here, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And so as it was, if you were healed, and instantaneously at that time, because of their belief, they were healed. Now, the law was, is that if you were healed as a leper, you had to go see the priest, and they would proclaim you clean, and then you could go into society and live a normal life. Just like the doctor would tell you, yeah, you're okay. You can be released from the hospital. You can get back to your life. But listen to this. When it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, which was the Samaritan. But it's interesting, when people are all sick together, they were as one. There wasn't an issue when they were all together. But when Jesus came, it's interesting, Jesus calls out the righteous, just like in churches. There's a lot of churches, a lot of buildings that are filled with people today. Some of them aren't saved. They don't know Jesus. And yet, you know, when it came to be, they were all together as one. They were thought, okay, we all got something in common here. We have this leprosy. And then when the time came, when they all left, you only had one that came back and glorified God. And it's interesting, I think in church, some churches are probably filled with people who don't know Jesus. They have the religion, they have the works, they can say the word right, but inside they aren't saved. They don't know the Lord. And only the Lord knows that. I don't know that. I've had people come up to me over the years and say, "Pastor, I don't think I'm saved." I said, "Well, let's just make sure. Let's get it right before the cross. Let's talk to Jesus." And so, verse 18, "And he fell down on his face and his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but there are the 9? Then there are not found that return to give glory to God and save this stranger?" He calls him a stranger because he was where he was located in Galilee. Remember, a lot of disciples came from Galilee. A lot of people who came to know the Lord came from Galilee. And yet Jesus calls him a stranger. But it's interesting. We know we're not strangers if we know the Lord. Amen. And we accepted Christ into our heart. And as we evangelize, as we tell people about Jesus Christ, there is not a stranger. There are only friends, as the saying goes, that you haven't met here yet. But, you know, our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are children of God. It does. So it doesn't matter if we're all by ourselves. We still bear witness with the word and the spirit through the blood of Christ that we are his children. Nothing can change that. But yet you had 9 lepers walk away, didn't even give thanks to God. We live in a world today where a lot of people are just so busy, life goes on, that they can't stop and give thanks. And we, as Christians, sometimes, myself included, don't stop to give thanks because we forget. We're so busy. "Oh, yeah, Lord, I know you're on my side. Everything's okay. You're my best friend. Yeah, everything's going to be all right. You know, I got your hand." But we forget to give him thanks. And it's so easy to slip away, to get carnal and worldly when we don't give thanks. Even for the little things, for the big things in life too. Some people see life in a big picture. Other people see life in the little pictures here and there. Everybody here in this room thinks differently. We do. But we have that in common, which is in Jesus Christ. Verse 19, "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." In other words, he was healed physically as well as spiritually because of his faith. He believed. He believed in the faith, and it wasn't any works that he did. It was believing. And that's why we're here. That's why we have a salvation. We all should remember that day that we were saved, but we should give thanks always for that. And so we see going back here in our passage in Psalms, going back to Psalms here, and it says here in verse 3, "Know ye not the Lord, he is God, that he hath made us, and we not ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Then we see the third point. Our thanksgiving should be passionate, passionate. "Enter into the gates with thanksgiving, into the courts with praise." It had the idea of the temple, coming into the temple. You know, our hearts are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we accepted Christ into our hearts, our voices automatically give praise and thanks to him. You ever sat in your car before and just put your head down and give thanks to the Lord? Or you're alone at home in the chair, or where you're at the dinner table giving thanks, or you're at the restaurant giving thanks? There's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, as the old saying goes, who cares what the other people think about? I'm going to thank the Lord. They think I'm crazy. That's fine, because I'm a crazy person for Christ. But we do it as unto the Lord, not for attention. In other words, that praise has the idea of getting God's attention and saying, "Lord, I'm here. I'm thankful." And yet we see a lot of people today who go to football games and people who forget about church on Sundays. We've become a very pleasure-oriented society. I'm not saying football games are wrong. Don't take me the wrong way. I like to have the competition. We as Americans, as Christians, we're very competitive. We want what's the best to glorify God, to put him first, to give thanks. You know, hallelujah, we're in the stands. We have a heavenly host right now, like it says in Hebrew, as it were, a cloud of witnesses And it has the idea of just a huge assembly of people looking down upon us as we're running the race, as we're giving it everything we've got every day. We get up and we just pray. We take our medicine. We do our exercises. We go through everyday responsibilities because we are responsible people, and we give thanks and to all things. And so it's all about having the right kind of attitude. Giving thanks becomes passionate. And verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good." He is good. "And his mercy is everlasting." And in other words, you know what? We deserve God's judgment. We're sinners. We're sinners in the hands of an angry God, so it as it is. But you know what? We're saved, so we're experiencing God's love. Like I said last week, you know why a lot of people are angry at God? Because they know there's a judgment coming. They don't want to hear it. They're angry. They're upset. They're confused. Look what I read there in Romans chapter 1. God gave them over. That has the idea they became confused, and they're on their own because they walked away from that light, and they're stumbling all over the place in darkness. There is so much darkness. These days are getting so dark, the light doesn't last for long. And that's just an illustration of what happens this time of year. But we're seeing it more and more in people's lives. I figure there's one thing that's holding back God's judgment from our country, and that's we are supporting Israel. But once that's out of the way and our nation goes kaput, okay, I don't see anything being held back on Israel. I don't. Because you look at the United Nations, what's going on, and their judgments. You know, for example, with the Palestinian territory. They want the Palestinians to take back the West Bank. They want to reclaim that area of Judah as it once was. And there are many interesting archaeological sites out there that are yet to be discovered. But we see that God is merciful, and also we have the truth, the Word of God. Let me encourage you here this morning. I won't be as long as I usually am behind the pulpit, because that's when God tells me to stop or he tells me to go. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "For in everything," number one, "in everything give thanks, from this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So we need to be thankful for God's will to be done every day, not our will. Lord, let it be your will. We do it as unto you. Number two, we need to be not worried, but we need to pray, telling God, be careful. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "For nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be named unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We need peace. I would do anything for peace if I wasn't saved. But there is no real peace, because it's a false peace. It comes and it goes. The real peace is that we have in Jesus Christ. Okay, there's nothing better than having a mind being content. Godliness is great gain. Okay? 1 Timothy 4:3 and 5 says, "God provides for us, forbidding them to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God had created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. And if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." We ought to be thankful for the food. You know, we have so much food in this country. We do. You talk to the farmers. We have so much to be thankful for. And sometimes I tell my wife, she's not here right now, I say, "Honey, you know, why don't we get rid of more of this stuff here?" She says, "Oh, no. You know, I think the Lord wants us to have some things here." You know, so I respect her, and I take her word as what the Lord tells me to do, because we submit one to another. We want our marriage to last and to have a happy marriage together. But sometimes people tell us things that we need to listen. 2 Corinthians 2:14, "We have the victory through Christ. Now give thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of our knowledge by us in every place." So we have the victory. We have a spiritual battle going on every day of our lives. And we're gathered here to encourage one another, to share to God's love, to glorify God. And you know what? We have that victory in Jesus Christ to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we should be very thankful for that. He's given us the victory. Who's taken it away? Has it been us? Or has it been somebody down the road? Somebody who's just giving us a hard time? Are we letting them to take away our joy? We shouldn't do that. But yet we go to Christ for strength. It gives us a victory. We see also God answers prayer in John chapter 11, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. So with Lazarus, Jesus prayed. Remember, he wasn't there for 4 days. They were like, why are you letting Mary and Martha saying, oh, Jesus, why are you letting Lazarus, our brother, you know, stay in the grave? He's going to smell by now. Because the Jewish people back in those days didn't believe in embalming. Okay, they believed in just putting incense and certain things on the body and wrapping up the body, taking care of the body. Well, you know what happened was, is in God's time, it was to happen, and it happened. And so God answered prayer. You know, we should be thankful for our resurrection, and we should give thanks for that. And then there's a couple more here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word of God. For this cause also thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as the word of truth, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. We should be thankful for the word of God. We have so many copies of the word of God. We should be thankful. And we have opportunities in hotel rooms if you can, because you hardly even get the Gideon Bible in those hotels anymore. But if you can pass out the word of God, do it, and then just pray for people. Pray, pray, pray. And we're very thankful in this country to have the word of God. Some countries don't have it. Some people would go to jail, even lose their lives. There's people sending Bibles into these countries. We need to also, again, pray for those 400 thugs in Haiti that have those 17 missionaries that have them under guard or want a ransom. But yet you have the 17 missionaries that have the word of God. Pray for them that they can share the word of God, because it's faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. It's not by my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord in Zechariah 4:6. It's by the Spirit of God that God works. He is spirit. We should worship him in spirit. And last one, I love this one, about thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 15:57, we have victory over the death. We have victory over death. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord over death. We have the resurrection. We're looking forward to that. We have a world that's dying, but we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Psalms 100 can be turned into a song too. It is a song. And so that is something that you can meditate on. Like I said, if you have a hymn book, take a hymn book home, or, you know, ask if you can borrow one from here. And, you know, sing praises to the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And the question is, what generation are we living in today? We have a generation that's turning their backs on God, that are unthankful, that hate their parents. Some do. Not a lot of people love their parents. But you have a generation that God doesn't answer. And we're becoming more and more quiet as a nation because people have shut their hearts up, so to speak, and walked away from God. Why? Because the Bible says there's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. We need to be praying. We should give thanks unto the Lord that we have the opportunity. We have families. We have loved ones to share. Some of you don't who have loved ones that don't know Jesus as their Savior have an opportunity. Just a couple words might change their life. Just a few prayers could very well change their lives. But we have to open our mouths to it and say, you know, this is what I need to share with you this Thanksgiving holiday. And I know many of you will be with your families and loved ones. So I'm praying. I'll be praying for everyone here. You know, I don't have family around here at all. But I tell you what, I'll be praying for you all that God will bless you and God will keep you and use you to share the love of Christ. So let's do this. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. And we thank you and rejoice that you have made it. We come before your presence with thanksgiving and praise. Lord, we thank you that you could heal the lepers. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come back like that Samaritan did and just give thanks. Lord, that you healed us spiritually. You've physically, Lord, our bodies are slowly dying. But we know we can give thanks because we have the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that we can have the joy. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is ever so much here today. And thank you, Lord, for the smile. We thank you that we can be good servants, being well done and faithful to what you've called us to do. We thank you for each individual here, Lord, that's going through untold issues and problems. Everybody here, Lord, has got issues, Lord. And I haven't heard any complaints from anybody, Lord, but I've heard people giving thanks and praying and being strong in spirit and in the might of your love. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you would bless this week. And Lord, we pray for those people who have turned away from you that are so confused because they've walked away from the truth. They believe in lies. And we're seeing more and more of it. People protesting out there. Oh, Lord, we just pray that they would turn around, know the truth, and help us not to be timid or to run away, but to stand boldly and knowing that, you know, as past people, Lord, that served you, God, were not afraid, but stood firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We thank you for our crosses. We thank you for this life you've given us. And help us to give us the boldness we need to share your word. We give thanksgiving for all you've done. Truly, truly, you've been good to us. In Jesus' name, through his blood, amen.